Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
Would you like to live forever? According to a recent survey from the AA, less than one in five of us would. And joining me now to talk about the pros and cons of immortality is the lovely Jonathan McRae, presenter of Future Proof on Saturdays on News Talk and founder of SciComm. Jonathan, you're very welcome.
Hi, Ciara.
I'm going to ask you, first of all, would you like to live forever?
There's an if there, right? I think it's a really difficult question just to ask simply, would you like to live forever? There's a million different things. You mean live healthily forever?
Don't know. Don't know if that's possible.
If I could live healthily forever, I would certainly... forever is too long. Forever is just too long a time. If you could say 250 years, but then maybe when I was 235, you'd say...
My mother used to say that. I used to say, I wouldn't like to live till I was 85. And she used to always say, you might if you were 84. And I think that's probably true. But I can kind of imagine you and I in 60 years' time and we're like floating heads in jars in this very office, still chatting about whether or not we want to live forever. Is that a possibility? Are, you know, we're starting to see about cellular aging and we're starting to understand all that stuff. Is immortality actually on the cards?
Well, probably not floating heads in a jar thing. Although, well, do you know what? There is a company called Alcor. I don't know if you've heard of it. I met the founder of it, Max Moore, once, and he was telling me about what happens there. And basically, it's a company that offers a service of freezing your body until medicine catches up with itself.
Oh, I have.
And allows you to unfreeze, right? And it's a very strange thing. So that if you know you're going to die, or if you have a disease that, you know, that there's a terminal illness or so on, you basically let them know, and they turn up. And they take your blood out, they put in antifreeze, they put you on dry ice, and they ship you to their facility. And then they hang you upside down in a vat of liquid nitrogen until somebody can put you back together again. So theoretically, head in a jar stuff, because you can pay 200 grand, right, and do the whole body. Or you can pay 80 grand and just have your head. And you can just preserve your head. So that's genuinely...
Hence the jar talk.
But the science of that, of course, is rubbish.
But even... Yeah, obviously, because you're dead as well as frozen. And you can certainly be brought to being unfrozen, I would presume. But that doesn't make you alive again. Here's the thing, though. Would you want... Because I'm one of the 4 out of 5 that say I wouldn't like to live forever. Because I kind of believe that every story must come to an end and that we have an arc of life. That we have our beginning, we have our middle, and then we have our kind of, you know, the roundup at the end. I feel I'm nearly at the roundup at the end, to be honest. I think I'm on
get
the,
out.
I'm tired.
Well, you know what? That's one of the things. I mean, it seems that over the last number of decades, we've been adding years to our lives. And
this
looks...
is 50 is the new 30 kind of thing.
Well, no, but even literally, because if we think of 1946, the average age in Ireland was 50. In 1900, it was even less. And now we're looking at the possibility of the person to live to 150 years old is alive today. And so I think we can certainly, there's lots of therapies out there that might help us live a little bit longer. And there's research into things like telomerase, for example, which is it's a protein that keeps the end of our DNA from unraveling, which is what causes cell death. And so there's plenty of research into that. There's also research, I mean, Elon Musk very recently announced this Neuralink, a sort of lace that ties your brain to computers. I think the most likely form of immortality that could happen, looking at the technology that's available today, is downloading our brain to a computer. It's not as crazy as you might think. There is plenty of initial steps towards that.
And kind of marrying us to AI so it could nearly predict what Jonathan would think down the line or that kind of thing.
Well, no, I genuinely mean downloading our personality into a computer. And there are
that
academics...
That will go forward, yeah, being like you.
Exactly. And that might actually live on the internet, never have a physical body. And there are academics who are thinking about this. So we already have abilities to interpret some brain signals.
What's the point of it? What's the point of it, Jonathan? So supposing they take Kira's brain and they stick it into a computer and now they have it has a Twitter account that spews out the same crap I do in real life. But... I eventually wither away and die, and the Twitter account goes on ad infinitum. But what's the point of it? Why?
Think of every religion that's ever existed. It's all about some flavor of immortality. It's the thing that dogs our mind the most when we are in danger, wanting to live forever. And that's why people are so fascinated with, because that, you know, if you don't believe in religion, then it's off. It's like a switch of a life. You don't have a religious belief.
Here's the reason why I don't want to live forever, though, is I've spent a long part of my life tending to people with illness. That's been kind of my gig before this one. And I can see very clearly that once people, and people can live very healthily for quite a long time, but even the most healthy among us who are sprightly and get out and active and fit and all that, come your late 80s, and you could still live for 20 years, but come your late 80s, irrespective at the moment,
yeah,
you're quite limited. Your health will be a problem. You will have arthritis. You will have pain. You will find small things more challenging and different in terms of continence, in terms of feeding yourself, in terms of exercise, in terms of everything.
You amass all this information, all these memories, that it becomes almost impossible to deal.
But, so why do you want to live? Why do you want to live that last 20 years of your life when you're stuck in a chair and you can't do anything?
You see, I've always been fascinated by the future, and I've always been thrilled to see new technologies come to life. And we look at what's happening now in science and technology, and trying to imagine what the change has been in just 100 years before there were, you know, cameras.
So would you
and
like
planes.
To stick around just to see it, just to see what the world is doing?
This mad human experiment that we have, to see where it's going to go. I mean, every science fiction writer since the beginning of history has predicted it's all going to go horribly wrong, but I wouldn't mind.
I wouldn't mind
having a front row seat and seeing how the world burns. But you know, the one thing that Bruce Lee said is that, you know, the key to immortality is living a life worth remembering. And I think when we think about the things that we do, how we behave in real life, the legacy that we pass on, not just to our children but through our work, I think that's the only way we're going to get immortality in the next 50 years.
You know what I think? I think there's the whole crop of us on the planet, and we are a crop. Will become dead soon, and a new crop will replace us, and that's the nature of life, and I think we have to surrender to that.
Thanks again for listening to this Lunchtime Life podcast. Please do subscribe via the app or on iTunes, and check us out on newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Talk to you again soon.